If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, please. But I'm going to continue. I'm not going to get there yet, but you turn there and you'll be there when I'm ready. Continuing the series on being be responsible. And God has made us, He desires us, He has caused us to be responsible, but we've learned that we can't be responsible if we're not obedient. So obedience needs to take place in order for us to be responsible. And I shared that God is looking for one man or one woman who is willing to obey Him, who is willing to be responsible, who is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through them and make a difference in this world. And in 2 Chronicles 16:9, I'm going to read the verse in just a second, but he's talking about King Asa. And King Asa didn't do what God had commanded him to do. He did his own thing. And so he's saying some stuff towards him at the end of this verse. And he was relying and trusting, not in the Lord, but in his own wisdom, in his own men, in what he could see. And so he didn't have victory. And so in the process, he gets this word from the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. And so this is what he's saying to King Asa. And he's like, this is what I'm after. But then he has to add this on to him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. And so the last part is about his disobedience. But can you imagine a God who is looking throughout all of the earth? His eyes are roaming throughout all the earth, and he's looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed towards him. And, you know, when I read that, I remember reading it, and I'm like, God, that's what I want to be. I want to be the man. I want to be in the house where when you're looking to and fro on all the earth, you stop on me. You stop on my house because of my heart towards you. And then we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that's our responsibility. And then he says this in verse 13, and we closed with this a couple weeks ago. He says in verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. In other words, God is the one who puts that desire in us to do some awesome things. And then he says, and then if you'll step in and do them or begin to do them, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to see that it gets done. What an awesome God. He calls us to something and then he says, and I'll make sure you can do it. Now look, we can't do it on our own, but we can do it with him in us and our hearts right towards him. What an awesome God. And, you know, I talked about how this is all for his good pleasure. So when you're doing all this stuff, guess what? It's not even about you. You know, and that's the problem that we have as human beings. We want to do things so that we get the glory, and God says, no, it's not going to work that way. You're going to do all this, but it's going to be for my glory, my good pleasure. Isn't that awesome? So you get to get out of the picture. So since you're going to be out of the picture, don't try and put yourself in the picture. Don't try and make the picture about you, because it's not. It's about him. And when God is happy, everybody else is happy. Amen? And so God is looking for one man, one woman to give themselves to him and to make a difference in this world. I want to remind you of Jesus' words and what he did and how he did what he did, and he spoke what he spoke. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it says this, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Because they were asking him, you know, they were saying, is his mom and his brother and sister were out there looking for him. And this is his response. Whoever does the will of my Father. Matthew 21, 28. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. Everybody say, went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. Now, we're also talking about some hearts here. And their hearts towards the first son. He said no at first, but then he changed his mind and he went. He obeyed. He was responsible. And I just wonder, how responsible are we becoming? And the awesome thing is when you read the scripture, you find out that because of Jesus' obedience and his responsibility towards his father was well pleased with him. You see, we want God to be pleased with us, but we don't want to stop doing our own thing. Let's move on. John chapter 4. That must have hit home. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And I just want to remind you, we've been sent too. God has good works for us that he's planned in advance that we would do them. So he has sent us too. Are we willing to be obedient? Are we willing to become responsible? And then in John chapter 5, verse 19, John 5, 19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. I would call that being obedient. I would call that being responsible. Verse 20 says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him so that you may marvel. Now, I'm going to ask you to think about something for a moment, but it's not true. It can't be true. And it's too late to be true, but just think about this for a moment. And think about your life, and if you're a parent, think about your children's lives. What if Jesus saw the Father doing something? Jesus heard the Father saying something, and he turned and he walked away, and he didn't do it. Just think, what would happen if he did that? God would show him and talk to him, and then he would go away from the Father, and he wouldn't do it. Do you think he would be well pleased with the Father? No. Because there's no responsibility, there's no obedience there that would be taking place if Jesus just walked away and did his own thing. And yet we in the church have that same tendency. We hear God speak to us, we walk away, and we don't do what he said. Jesus, if he did that, the Father would stop talking to him because our Father wouldn't lose his mind. But we would try and reason with our child, if that was our child. And, you know, we would try and coddle them and make them feel good, even though they're disobedient, even though they're irresponsible and unproductive. We would try and make them feel better about their lives while they're being in disobedience. And it's not right. We tolerate the second son, and we don't reward the first son. We make excuses for the second son who said, I'll go, but he doesn't go. And we forget about the one who obeyed. Now, God is not after perfection, but I want you to know he will not continue to put up with our blatant disobedience. He will not. Your life will not be good. In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus said this, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Isn't that awesome? Now, Jesus is saying, let me read this first part. I can do nothing on my own. Okay? Now, he's an adult. Where do you think he learned this from? He learned this in the natural. Okay? He learned this from his parents. He learned how to obey them. And therefore, he was able to obey the voice of his Father, his heavenly Father. Okay? In John 6:38, Jesus said this, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so I just wonder how willing we are to do the will of God who sends us. Or are we always kicking against him and trying to make excuses for why we're not going to do what he's asked us to do? And trust me, our excuses are a mile long. We have all kinds of reasons why we can't do what he's called us to do. There's rewards that come with obedience and us being responsible. In John 12, verse 49, it says this. John 12, 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Isn't that awesome? So he's getting ready to say something good here in the next verse. But he can only say that because he's always done what the Father asked him to do. Okay? Verse 50, And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. In other words, he's going as a representative of our Heavenly Father. And what he sees, that's what he's doing. How he speaks, it's because he's heard that from his Father. Okay? This is why it is so important for us as parents to teach and instill obedience into our children as soon as possible. Because we cannot be responsible if we are not willing to be obedient. We have tried it the other way around, where you don't have to be obedient, but you will be responsible. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Now, for good or bad, I'm going to talk to us parents, especially the parents that still have kids in their house or even grandparents. So I'm going to help you this morning. All right? I'm going to come from three areas. One is just being a pastor and seeing life. The second is knowing what we've done with our children and seeing how it works. And from being a substitute teacher in the school district. I am here to tell you that if you teach your children to be obedient and responsible, when they go to school, they will shine like stars. They will be as bright as the sun at the noontime. But if you don't, they will be a darkness in that room like you couldn't ever believe. And I'm speaking from experience. I've seen it. So, how do we teach our children to be obedient and responsible? And I'm just going to use the word responsible because we've already dealt with obedient before. So, this is how you teach your children how to be responsible. You ready, parents? You do it a little bit at a time over a long period of time. They are given to you when they are little. And so when they are little is the time for you as parents to teach them how to be responsible. And that's the long part of it. But it's you start when they're little and you keep doing it. And as they get bigger and bigger and as they show responsibility, then you give them more responsibility. Okay? So it happens over a long period of time. So, when you start off with this and you're teaching your children how to be responsible, the first time that they're responsible, man, have a party. But the second time, don't have a party. Because they have to learn this is what's expected. And let me tell you something. Your children will rise to the level of your expectation. If you don't expect much from them, guess what? You will not get much from them. We teach them. We train them. We discipline them by putting rewards for obedience before them. And, everybody say and. This you got to do. And negative rewards for disobedience. It is amazing to me how many times I have seen parents reward in a positive manner disobedience. What is wrong with this? That's not what is supposed to happen. Positive rewards for obedience. Negative rewards for disobedience. Okay? And they have to be age appropriate. Okay? Age appropriate. And when you give them, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here in just a second, but when you tell them what's expected and then you give them the choice of you can have this positive reward or you can have this negative reward. When you do that, you have to be willing to enforce those rewards. If you do not enforce those rewards, then don't even say it because you're going to lead your kids astray. Okay? If you try to raise your children and the rewards are not appropriate, Okay? In other words, if you don't give them positive rewards for obedience, negative rewards for disobedience, then what you are going to do is you're going to train your children up to have a difficult life. To have a real difficult life. So, we need to offer rewards for obedience and disobedience. Now, in saying that, this is how you need to instruct your children. And they need to have your full attention when you're instructing them. Okay? And that means if you have to take their cheeks in your hands and you say, "Sweetie, this is how we're going to do it today. This is going to be your reward if you do it. This is going to be your reward if you don't do it." That is what you need to do because they need to have attention on you. They need to know what you're doing because there's four steps in teaching responsibility. Okay? Here's the first one. Give clear instructions to your children. Give clear instructions to your children. If they don't know what is expected of them, they're not going to do it. So you have to take the time to give them clear instructions. The second thing is, have them repeat those instructions back to you. That way you know they heard you. Because how many times have you told your children to do something, they didn't do it, and they said, "Well, I didn't hear you." See how easy this is? They hear you when they're up close and you have attention with them. All right? So you give them clear instructions, they repeat the instructions back. All right? Then you give them clear rewards for obedience, clear rewards for disobedience. And then what's the next step? Y'all know it. No. They have to tell you the rewards back. Make sure that while you have their attention, you tell them, this is what's going to happen when you obey, this is what's going to happen when you disobey. Then they repeat that. Why? Because when you're rewarding them, you want them to know why they're being rewarded. Because otherwise they say, "Well, I didn't know that's what you were going to do if I disobeyed." But see, you're taking that excuse away from them. And so you have to do that. Okay? So you give them clear instructions, they repeat the instructions back. You give them clear rewards, they repeat those rewards back. Okay? And then, actually, there's five, because the next one, you have to enforce it. You have to enforce it. If you don't enforce it, chaos is going to come. All right? Now, here's why these steps are so important, why they're so necessary. When this is done properly, what you are training your children to do is take responsibility for their lives, for their behavior, for their actions. When you do it in that manner, you are teaching them to take responsibility. In our house, this is how we told them. You are going to take ownership of your actions. Ownership, responsibility. You choose which word, use them both if you want. Okay? When we teach children to take ownership of their lives, we're teaching them to be responsible. And I'm here to tell you, at an early age, you can find things for them to learn to be responsible with and for. It has to be age appropriate. If you have questions, you can call us, but you can also pray and ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we sought the Holy Spirit and He answered us. Okay? Now, having them take ownership of their actions, having them become responsible for their actions, is what we're after. if you are a normal parent. Parents, it is our responsibility to help them connect the dots between understanding this, what their actions are and what their rewards are. Okay? It's your responsibility to put that together. That's why it's so important for you to tell them what you expect, what the rewards are going to be. They're going to talk back to you about that and all of that. But when you do that and you teach them responsibility, you're teaching them to take ownership of their actions. And that is so crucial, especially nowadays. And as parents, you're the one connecting the dots for them. When they get rewarded for obedience, you let them know, hey, we're celebrating this. And trust me, when our kids were younger and it was time to reward them, we had some great rewards. We had parties because of their obedience. And when they were disobedient, it was the same thing. We didn't have parties. But, well, one time we did. Caleb just couldn't join in and it about killed him. So we didn't have to worry about that anymore. But when you let them take ownership, then you can go back to them. And these are such precious words. When you've corrected them and everything and you've trained them this way and you're giving them the reward, this is what you say to them. You know, Mommy and Daddy, we hate to give you this reward, especially if it's disobedience. But we have to. Do you know why we have to? And they look at you and they say, yeah, I know. And you say, why? And they say, because I chose it. And we say, yes! You got it! That's what we're all getting it down to, is we want them to understand they are receiving their just reward for their choices. Isn't that awesome? And it's such a beautiful thing when you look at your child and you're getting ready to correct them in the form that you've chosen to correct them, and you say, why do I have to do this? And you're in tears, and you're like, oh, my heart is breaking. I really don't want to do this, but you chose this. You know, they tell you that. And you rejoice. Oh, this is so good. That's what God is after for us, because he wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be obedient. And it begins in the natural. It begins at when they're little. And it's over a long period of time while you have them. But you have to teach them, it's their choice. You have to, when you do that, they're taking ownership. They're taking responsibilities. We always made sure that our children knew that it was their choice that was causing them to get their reward, good or bad. It was their choice. Now, the world is trying to teach us to be sophisticated about all this. And they try to help us make excuses for our children's disobedience. And don't shout me down when I say this, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, but here's what happens when your children are disobedient at school, okay? Over a long period of time. But it's really a short period of time, but it seems like long to you as parents. Here's what happens. Your children get labeled. And it's not a good label. When your children are disrupting the class all the time, they get labeled. When your children are being disobedient, they get labeled. When your children are irresponsible, they get labeled. And then the child has to overcome being labeled. And then the parent has to overcome the child being labeled. I want to help you. Really? Just teach them to be responsible. Teach them to take ownership. of their lives. I have kids that when they switch classes, like when you're with fifth and sixth, you switch classes. Well, they have time to go to their locker to get their new books, you know, whatever subject they're going to be teaching, to get their Chromebook, to get their notebook, to get their pencils and pens. And so as a substitute teacher, you know, they come to you, can I go to my locker and get my pencil? And they're shocked at my response. I don't know why. I say, no. And they just look at me and they're like, why? And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, did you know you were coming to this class? Yes. Did you know that you were supposed to bring your pencil? Yes. I said, well, then you didn't bring it. That's not my fault. And no, you can't go get it now. And you say, well, that's mean. Yes. It is. But how do you teach them to be responsible if you let them go? They can't be responsible if you keep letting them get away with it. All right, let's turn it a little bit. Okay? Here's what I want you to understand. God has standards for every one of us, and His standards are all the same. The standard is, when I was growing up, there was a standard. When my kids are growing up, there's a standard. When your kids are growing up, there's a standard. God has a standard, okay? We have to understand that. Now, here's the twist in all of this. There's different ways to get to that standard. All right? No child, all children are different. They learn different. They act different, they speak, they think different, they see differently. You know, I know God is a very methodical God. How do I know that? Because I am a very methodical person. I go from A to B to C to D. I follow the directions when I'm putting something together. In my mind, that's how I think. But do you know what? I don't understand it, but there are a lot of people who do not think like God thinks. They are not methodical. At least that's what I used to think. They just don't think like me. Because God is methodical, but He's also spontaneous. He can do things outside of the box. And for somebody like me, that is not good when you do something out of the box. But it's okay. He's God. So I'm saying there's a standard that God has for all of us and for our children. But there's different ways to bring your children to that standard. With one of our child, it was easy. With the other one, it was a little more difficult. But it was possible. And so I just want to encourage you that all of this starts at home. You have to understand this. And when you're holding your child to a standard, and for instance, a standard would be you don't steal, okay? Now that should be a standard in every home because that's a commandment. Thou shalt not steal. That's a standard. Then you have to enforce that standard. You might have a child who never steals. Guess what? Your enforcement's going to be great. You might have a child who steals everything under the sun. Guess what? You have your work cut out for you. But you have to let them know this is not acceptable. And you have to give them consequences for their disobedience, for their stealing. Whatever it is, whatever the standard is, His word is full of standards. Thou shalt not lie. Okay, that's a standard. That should be a high standard in your house. When your child lies to you, there should be great consequences. I mean, that's like stealing. Massive. And you need to make them feel bad for lying to you. Do you know now mommy and daddy can't trust you? Now we have to build trust again with you. We're going to have to watch your actions. We're going to have to spy on you some more. We're going to have to drive around and make sure you're where you're supposed to be before we trust you again. Well, that'll make them feel bad. Yes! Because we're bringing them to a standard. Now, one more thing for parents. I hate to have to say this, but to be responsible, I better say it. If you're going to teach responsibility or demand it from your children, you better model it. You better model it. Because if they hear you asking for one thing and they see you doing another, it's not going to work. It's not going to be good. Stand with me. I'm just going to read my last notes because they're important. And I wish I had more time to talk on it, but we'll save it for another day. But without teaching our children obedience and responsibility, we fail to teach our children how to discipline their hearts and their minds and their bodies. When we fail to have them discipline their hearts, bodies, and minds, then we fail in causing them to have self-control over their hearts, minds, and bodies. And I'm telling you, when you do not have self-control over your heart and your mind and your body, everything goes crazy in your life. Your thoughts are out of this world. I mean, you're consumed with thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking, but you have no way of bringing them back down into a godly way of thinking. And the same thing with our bodies. When we don't have self-control over our bodies, then our bodies are free to do whatever we want them to do. They're free to live according to their feelings. When we have failed to teach our children obedience and responsibility that enables them to discipline their minds, that enables them to be self-controlled. When we have failed at all that, then we have failed our children in becoming productive members of society and productive members of the kingdom of God. It's that simple. Look, I know the temptation. It may be cute when they're little, and they're disobedient, and, you know, they have this face, and it's so adorable. It might be cute, but in the long run, it's not going to be cute. If you think it's cute now when your children are young and they're disobedient, then call me up, and I will take you to the schools, and I will show you what they look like when they get older, and then you tell me if that's cute. Because I'm here to tell you it is not cute what is going on in the schools nowadays. It's not cute how we have trained our children to live according to the passions of their own bodies, of their own evil minds, because we have failed them in teaching them to take ownership and responsibility and giving them the discipline that they need to do that for their lives. We have a world that is going crazy because we have failed to teach our children how to be obedient and responsible. Time is up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and the love that you have for us. And thank you for meeting with us this morning. And thank you for the direction of your word. And Father, I pray that we would be a people who are willing to model obedience and responsibility if we are older. But Father, for the parents, give them everything that they have need of. Let them draw from others who have been successful to be able to train their children to be obedient, to be responsible, to be disciplined, to be self-controlled, to be productive for you and for society. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.